This is the MMA Takes Podcast. MMA Takes Podcast. With your host, Brian Petrie.
Let's go. Huh? What about it? Let's fucking go. What's up? MMA Takes Podcast here. Brian Petrie is your host. What's good? New listeners. Yes, I'm the guy from the Anakin Florian Podcast. Welcome. This is the recap show. We're going over the betting recap. I'll give my thoughts on every single fight from March 12th, this past weekend. Maybe I preview the London card. I think it's a decent little card. We'll talk about life. We'll talk about love. We'll talk about struggle. Nah, we probably won't talk about any of those things. Was there something I want to talk about at the top of the show? Oh, yeah. So, listen, we got to jump into it, right? Your boy's getting some hate. Your boy's getting some fucking mean comments. They're coming after me. I love it. Listen, I love the mud. YouTube commenters are supposed to be mean. And, you know, I've been getting some negative distractors from the, you know, the Anakin Florian since I've been on there. And this past week, it's just, you're attacking your boy's weight. I'm fat. I'm the fat boy. Someone called me a Pillsbury Doughboy. I mean, guys, I'm a human being with feelings. My wife, I read them to my wife and she gets all worked up. It's very, very cute. Very, very funny. Let's read some of these motherfucking insults here. I haven't read them in a little bit. See if there's any new ones. I don't think so. Okay. So my boy Josh has commented it. He had my back, which had me laughing at work. So this one guy, the most recent comment, Cuss, K-U-S Jr., that, first off, he made my day. He called me a little fat kid, saying, going well. He clearly isn't referring to his health and well-being. Bet's going well. Don't kid yourself, fatty. So I'm a 35-year-old man, and he's calling me a little fat kid? I mean, I guess I take that as a compliment. I still have the youth. You know what I mean? I appreciate it. You know what I mean? And then the one thing I don't get, right? You know, okay, it's easy to call someone fat. But then he says, fat people eating or drinking on camera seems greedy, looks desperate. I definitely wasn't eating, right? I wasn't eating on camera, but I had a few sips of, you know, because I'm talking a lot. I have a drink right here. My mouth gets a little dry. Just because I'm fat, I don't get to drink on camera or not. KUS Jr., I mean, can you explain yourself? Come on, guy. I can't drink. Oh, that's just, oh. And then we had, Julhut Toby, fucking awesome name. Who the fuck is that fat boy? Is what he said. Again, kind of a compliment because he called me a boy. I'm a 35-year-old man. I'm married with two kids. I'm getting called a boy. I have boyish good looks. You know, again, compliment. And a little lazy. Like, again, the fat thing. Listen, I get it. It's an easy target, but let's really cut me with it. You ever seen The Gentleman with Colin Farrell, Matthew McConaughey? He's in the thing, or Colin Farrell's in the shop. He's coach. He's like, he trains MMA fighters, and these kids are routing up in the shop. And he goes, all right, let's have some back and forth. Say something, man. Cut me with it. And he just goes, fuck you. And he's like, oh, that's disappointing. That's what I feel. Cut me with it. Come at me. One guy said, How do you take Robertson over Roundtree? Should I be the betting guy? That was pretty good. I lost the Kenny beat me because I took Robertson over Khalil Roundtree. 100%. Yeah. You should be the betting guy. Do it. Hop on there. Let's see what you got. And then the one my buddy responded to, which is just so funny. The first one that I saw last night. Where is it out here? Did I pass it already? Here we go. From Isaac Dahl. Starting to get sick of the Pillsbury Doughboy making picks instead of Krause. Okay, first things first, okay? Krause is busy cornering UFC fighters, right? Krause, I'm the fill-in guy for Krause, right? So I'm sorry that Krause is busy. Second of all, Pillsbury Doughboy, I mean, that's such a dated reference that it's either two things. English is not this guy's first language, or he's an 85-year-old man that is a YouTube commenter that says mean things to people. Which really, if the thought of an 85-year-old man sitting there calling me Pillsbury Doughboy, going, honey, what was that thing in back in the day where you pushed his stomach and he went, "Woo, what was that called?" She's like, "Pillsbury Doughboy, that's it." And he's fucking typing it in with one finger. Boop, boop, boop. Like, me picturing that is great, but probably it's just some kid, probably European kid, with that, the way he spells Isaac, it's just mean, you know, and I commented rude and he commented back 10 pushups. Now that's where it's like, okay. So again, calling someone fat is very unoriginal, right? It's an easy thing. Let's get past easy. You know what I said? Cut me with it, right? Then he does the 10 push-ups things, which is like, okay, now you're just ripping off Colby's bit. That's what Colby is doing to John Morgan, right? So I said that. I said, "My guy, you're stealing Colby's bit." Oof. And I said, I'll bang out 20. I'll put myself on camera banging out 20, but you got to spend $100 in the Anakin 40 merch. And, you know, obviously we're not getting anything back. And then this, Cody Mero just responded. Excuse me. Cody Mero said, "More like dough as in cash." So Cody, executive producer of the show, got my back with my buddy, my dear friend. He was in my wedding. I was in his wedding. This is unprompted. I didn't tell him to do this. He just obviously, you know, checked up on it. He said, "The Pillsbury Doughboy? Oh, okay, Jolly Green Giant, Captain Crunch, Joe the Camel. You just made the list, pal." Anytime you tell people they make a list, it makes me so happy that it makes me incredibly happy that he's making a list. But seriously, I love all the feedback. I mean, if you're going to assault me, listen, you're not going to hurt my feelings. My feelings went away a long time ago, but I know I gave the haters some shine. I also want to give shine to the people. I know I'm terrible at checking the IG. For some reason on Instagram, if I'm not following you, you're not following me, it goes to a different box, which I didn't know because I'm 35 years old and I don't really do Instagram much. But I have seen some of the really positive messages and the people who have followed me since doing the Anakin Florian that are now listening to this show. All the love and all the support and the interaction I'm getting on Twitter. You guys are subscribing to the YouTube channel as well and getting the love on Twitter. That's incredible. That's what we're doing here. You know what I mean? We're sitting here. I'm talking fights. I don't take myself too seriously. We're having a good time. We're gambling. Sports betting is supposed to be fun. I know it's not fun all the time. Losing sucks, but even losing is kind of fun. You know, this is supposed to be a fun thing. People take it way too seriously. And I want to shout out all the cool and positive and awesome people that have, hit me up on all different platforms. You guys rock. You guys are awesome. I'm doing the fucking hang loose sign because that's what I do, man. Whoa. All right, listen, let's get into this recap. Pretty good card. A lot of good fights. Main event was kind of a stinker. People were starting to get very upset when you say the main event's a stinker. I don't know why. I don't know why we're not allowed saying it's a stinker. It was a little bit of a slow, boring pace. Was it high level? Sure. But that doesn't mean it cannot be boring. I went 10-4 in my picks. Not too bad. Had a great betting weekend, which we'll go for. 10-4 in my picks. I hit my dog. I missed my sentiment home. I hit my mortal. So I went 2-3 on my locks, which isn't bad. Let me open the green notebook here. The gorgeous green notebook with all my secrets. Oh, my gambling secrets. I don't know why I'm saying secrets like that. So we hit the slime ball again. The slime ball again. How did I do that? 5-1 on the year. We're starting off hot, 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 hot. That was at plus 256 one, too. I could have added Ankalaev. I could have got greedy. I could have got a little heavy. I gave you Mrazekov, which we got extremely lucky, but you need the bounces. Mrazekov, who's like minus 180. Pereira minus 170 and Sadiq was like a minus 250-ish when he closed. All cashed. Let's go. That was a big win for us. I also had Sadiq by decision and I had Pereira by decision. Sadiq by decision was plus 3-ish and then Pereira was plus 800, which I did that on the day and I realized I made him, I sent him home. So I contradicted myself and I'm sorry about that. So if you had Pereira as a send him home off my recommendation and you lost, like if you tail me that much, I'll send you a t-shirt. And then I missed on Kamela Kirk. He just got ragdolled there. Then I had a nice little uni, almost a unit and a half on Basharat, who looked really good. I missed Robertson by sub. That was plus 800 as well. And then I hit Selimzerger by decision. I had a little bit on him by split decision, which Christian and I talked about Friday night. That was 13-1. But Selimzerger by decision, I think, was 350, 400 range. I'm up plus 2.92 units. Pretty good night. Use Caesar Sportsbook for the first time. Again, you guys know, I'm not a business guy. You know, everyone, you know, I'm not going to talk about deals. But I reached out to Caesars. I'm trying to get an affiliate program. You know, the show's growing. I feel like if I can give out the slime ball as like a feature option on like a sports book, I think that'd be really cool. People play it. People don't. There's options to fade it. You know, kind of Barstool does that with their Barstool guys. I know I'm fucking small time. I know a lot of books aren't going to, you know, I mean, DraftKings, they're worth $1 billion. They're not going to look at a guy with like me, right? But now that I'm getting some steam, I'm getting my confidence back. Because I used to do this when I had like 100 Twitter followers. I used to do this when I had like 500 listeners. I'd go and fucking just hammer every opportunity I could to try to get a sponsorship deal or something like that. Because even though it would bring money in, which would be cool, but more than so, it would establish me as well. And I can make some pretty cool bets for these books. So I reached out to Caesars. They're fairly new in Indiana, at least. Nice little app. Reached out to this woman via email, and she seemed kind of responsive, you know, and then she passed along to her bosses, who was another woman, I believe, and they weren't so responsive. So it kind of crashed and burned, but I put my money in there because I thought I withdrew the money to buy the fridge. You know, we're buying fucking appliances over here, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go buy a new microwave just because. So I went to Caesars. They don't offer as much as I want it. You know, DraftKings is much more in depth. They offer every bet under the sun. Caesars has some nice little props. I had a nice little weekend, but I'm back to DraftKings now. Never go to FanDuel. Fuck FanDuel unless they open the bank up for me. Back up a truck, which they won't. So it's always going to be fuck FanDuel, but I'm back on DraftKings. Caesars Sportsbook, though, give them a shot. You know, decent little, it's all about, to me, since I'm like kind of a techie kind of guy, it's all about like the app itself, right? Like MGM, like a lot of my buddies, Christian and Timbo, they love the MGM app, right? And I don't like the setup. I don't like it. It confuses me. FanDuel, as much as I hate their guts, their app was a little bit cleaner. DraftKings, I feel like could clean it up a little bit. There's just so much info on DraftKings that sometimes it can be overwhelming. But I'm back to DraftKings now because they just offer so many fucking bets for MMA. They're the official sponsor of the UFC, book of the UFC. So obviously they're going to offer up, but we're up 2.29 or 2.92 units. Good little week. Good to keep going for London this week. I feel good about London. I was on Anakin Florian again yesterday, gave my picks, felt good, high energy. Feel good about my picks, but let's talk about this. Magomed Ankalaev versus Thiago Santos. Again, everyone's banging on me. Hey, man, what star did you give him? You know, people are just knocking down the door. Hit me up. No one's doing this, by the way. Listen, Thiago Santos gets a one. I don't think the guy should main event anymore. The Johnny Walker fight was a snoozer. The two fights before that, he got absolutely ragdolled. And, you know, the only competitive, interesting fight was the John Jones fight, and that felt like forever ago. So Santos, again, they both want the counter. Didn't really do much. I feel like Santos has that big power, and if he would have done something, he could have maybe won. But Ankalaev controlled the distance, controlled the range. He gets a three. I am still high on Ankalaev. I do think he's going to have to fight one more time before he gets the shot. With that being said, listen, it was pretty boring. You know what I mean? A lot of people are very upset. People were saying they switched it off and they did this and that. I'm not going to go that far, but I was not super entertained. I wanted Magomed to do a little more. I wanted Santos to do a little more. It's a main event spot. It's a pretty big card. 205 division's bubbling right now. You got Yuri, you got Glover. These guys could be possibly next in the wings. And it felt like a little duddy to me. So I feel like Ankalaev's going to probably have to fight one more time unless there's some kind of injury situation. Jamal Hill's a good fight because I think Jamal Hill will bring the fight to him, really test Ankalaev. You know, Ankalaev will probably result to his wrestling, which I thought he'd do in this fight. But he was a huge favorite. Want to see that minus 600, whatever he was. I want to see that minus 600 skill. And even though I think Ankalaev is very talented, right? I felt like he just did enough to win and didn't want to make any risks. He got caught and said, you know what? Fuck this. This guy hits hard. I'm going to stay on the outside. I'll land the shots when I can. I'll dictate the pace. And, you know, it fell a little flat to me. That's just what it is. I'm not switching it off. I'm not doing this. People get very offended. Go fuck yourself, okay? It wasn't the best main event in the world. High level, Ankalaev looked good. But he could have looked better, in my humble opinion. Okay. Song Yadong versus Marlon Moraes. We saw this writing on the wall. I think everyone and their mom predicted this. I didn't hammer Song by knockout, even though I gave it out. I thought that was a great bet. He gets a 4-star. Marlon Moraes gets a 0. Listen, Marlon, you did everything right. You took your gloves off. It looked like he was going to retire in there. I doubt he retires. You know, I'm sure he might be done in the UFC, but he will fight somewhere else. He's just a competitor. But you just can't take a punch anymore. Song was aggressive out there. He knew he had a guy that was kind of done, right? He knew he had a guy that was low on confidence and had no chin. And Song can crack. And Song went out there and put the pressure on him and looked fantastic. So Song gets a 4. Marlon gets a 0. I hate giving Marlon a 0 because he was once in his time such a fucking stud, but the chin's gone. I think the confidence is shot. Maybe go outside the UFC if you don't retire. Get a nice little win. I think a couple wins under his belt with lower level competition would really help him, because it's not like Marlon's fighting bums, right? He's fighting studs even before this, and Song's kind of next up. Song Yadong versus Dominic Cruz, a buddy of mine texted me that. That would be interesting. There's a lot of fights for Song out there, 135 stack, but I hate seeing Marlon get knocked out just because he's been getting knocked out. I don't want to see guys take punishment. I'm not a fucking animal, guys, okay? I'm a sensitive man that doesn't like guys getting knocked out when they get knocked out 3 times in a row. Sadiq Youssef versus Alex Caceres. Predicted this fight pretty much the way it went down. Sadiq gets a 3. Caceres gets a 2. Listen, Caceres is durable. He's tough. Got his leg chewed up. A lot of guys could have maybe quit because Sadiq was chewing up that inside leg. He also landed a pretty couple good right hands. Caceres was not really searching for the takedown. I think Sadiq was clinching and was happy to clinch with Caceres. First round, Caceres did get a takedown, and then they scrambled a little bit, and Sadiq's prone to giving up his back. He made an adjustment and didn't give Caceres his back, and that was really the only real scramble we saw in there. Caceres did shoot for a couple takedowns in that third round, or attempted, and Sadiq maybe, you know, had a front headlock choke or something, but gave it up. Good performance by Sadiq. You know, a lot of people they're like, I'm not too high on him. I'm still pretty high on him. I think, you know, the chin's going to be tested. The defense is going to be tested. But other than that, I think his cardio is fantastic. I think his offensive wrestling is good. Needs to work on his defensive wrestling. And obviously, there's really nothing you can do about your chin. Maybe improve your defense a little bit. Caceres was landing, but he's got pillows in his hands. You're not going to knock him out. Didn't buzz Sadiq, but was landing some good shots. Competitive fight. And I want to say, I heard a couple people say that they thought Caceres won. Because they had money on him, and that's the most green color glasses I've ever seen. I had Sadiq by decision, and he was the final leg of my parlay. The last thing I thought was that he lost. I thought he won that fight pretty clean. Caceres gave a good account of himself because Sadiq is a stud. But yeah, Sadiq won that one there. Khalil Roundtree versus Carl Robertson. Violence is a word that comes to mind. Listen, Roundtree, you know, this is so funny. I thought it was Robertson because there's no tree. And it's Roundtree, but there's no D. And they both, their names start with K, last names start with R. You know what I mean? Let's get I didn't do any pot. I don't smoke pot. I didn't take any edibles. Let's get fucking trippy, bro. This was an entertaining fight. Close first round. Khalil Roundtree had a look in his eye. The minute they shut that door, I had Robertson by sub. I picked him on the Anakin Florian. It's the only bet. Small little bet. But when I saw Khalil's eyes, I went, oh, shit. And he came out kind of a different stance, a little bit lower. Carl's landing some good shots, but Khalil's just taking them. Patient. Come out that second round. Clipped him with a right hand. And then a body kick on the ground, which just sealed the deal. And then just finished. This dude finished him. Khalil gets a 4. That finish was impressive. Carl Robertson gets a 2. Listen, he looked good in the first round. He got caught and got finished, was trying to work his way up, could have quit after that big right hand, didn't, was working his way up, tried to heel hook, got kicked to the body, and we know Khalil kicks so fucking hard. Carl Robinson, obviously he's not going to be fucking world champion, he's not going to be fighting guys, you know, but he's an entertaining fighter. I'm glad he's back at 205 as well. I think 185 is a little bit too much for him, but Khalil Roundtree, violence. If this dude really fixed, you know, it showed no cardio problems. Obviously, there's still a ground issue there, in my opinion. So if he fights a wrestler, I think he's fucked. But if this dude can fix wrestling and really establish cardio, and he's on, he has that look he had on Saturday night, he's a problem standing up for anybody. And I'm saying anybody, you know, his power is there. He's so fast, so explosive. His kicks are deadly. And he can finish that savage finish there, guys. I mean, fuck. Drew Dober's Terrence McKinney. Awesome fight here. Drew Dober is the only one who almost got a 5-star. But I couldn't get a 5-star to a guy that almost got finished. But this was an amazing fight. McKinney gets a 2. Could have got maybe got a little more, but I want to see more of McKinney. He looked very good. But Ben Davis, the Bane on MMA Twitter, made a good point on YouTube that McKinney took this fight on short notice knowing I have one round to get at this guy out of there. He came out explosive, almost fucking did it. Another ref could have stopped this fight. Dober, so tough, got rocked like 3 or 4 times, recovered, and then just said, fuck it, my turn, and finished in that first round. Kneed McKinney, dropped McKinney, almost similar to the Woodson fight. You know what I mean? The Woodson fight went to the same second round with McKinney, but he did get hit with a big knee in the second round, finished on the ground. McKinney looked like he gave up a little bit. I mean, Dober got him good, but he covered up and was kind of like, okay, I'm happy with what I did so far in the round. That's gonna sit with me a little bit as he moves forward. Still young kid, still explosive, but look good for 2 minutes. But I want to see him look good for 15 minutes. And Dober's is a fucking class act. This guy took shots. He, you know, was great on the microphone. If Dober had takedown defense, he'd be so good. I mean, he's top 15 talent for sure. Maybe even top 10. Stand-up's great, coming off 2 losses, almost gets finished in the first round. Rebound says, not today, motherfucker, not today. That's what he said, I know it. Comes back and finishes stud, 4 stars. Can't give him 5, can't give him 5. Next up, Alex Pereira versus Bruno Silva, the fight I was most excited about. And I thought this fight was going to go 1 of 2 ways. I thought Pereira was going to style on him and knock him out, or I thought it was going to be a close decision because Bruno Silva just doesn't get finished. I really leaned heavy on the week as Pereira by finish because I think Pereira's got that juice. But come Saturday when I was in Indiana, I just was like, you know, I'm going to play it safe, and it's a great number, +800, 8-1, and I hit it. A lot of people thought Bruno won the first 2 rounds. Listen, the second round was very close. The first round, I thought Pereira won. Pereira was outstriking him, just kind of styling on him. This is what I have said for a long time. Kickboxers, when they come over, kickboxing striking is so different than MMA striking. Kickboxing, Muay Thai, all that has very rhythmic to it, right? They can come over and they can look amazing, but Pereira still hasn't knocked off the kickboxing striking. He's still very new to the MMA, and this was a very kickboxing-like performance by Pereira, but he showed up. He looked good. Bruno Silva, tough as they come. No one wanted to take this fight. Silva did get him down a few times, but Pereira, that left hook, wobbled Silva at the end of the first and in the third, almost put him out in the third. The knees were fantastic. Pereira looked, I thought he looked good. They both get a 3. I can't fault either performance on this because Bruno got in there with a guy who is one of the best kickboxers in the world. And he's like, fuck it, I'm going to stand up with him. And he did. I mean, he mixed it up a little bit, which is smart, but he stood up with him most of the time and had some success. He landed some good shots on Pereira, some nice leg kicks. This wasn't just a walk in the park for Pereira. This was a big win for him, though. You might not know it yet, but going to decision, going 3 hard rounds, was a big win. I want to see him get tested with a pure grappler next. The UFC obviously knows what they're doing with Pereira. They're setting him up with some easy fights. Not easy fights, but stylistically good for Pereira. I want to see him against a wrestler. I want to see him with a grappler. That'd be very interesting to me because if you get a grappler and you get taken down, you get back up, you don't have time to set everything up. You got to go. You got to win back the round. And he has a left hand that can go. So it'd be interesting, you know, the rhythmic, stacking up points, you know, counting every kick isn't going to get you a victory moving forward against a grimy wrestler, right? You're going to have to really work your feet and pressure. And so I'm really, the sky's the limit for Pereira. I know he's 34, so they're on the fast track with him, but exceptional talent. And this doesn't do anything to Bruno Silva. First loss in the UFC, he's going to rebound. It, you know, whoever he fights next, he's going to give a hell of a fight. The kid fucking hits hard. Great fight. Matt Sullensberger versus AJ Fletcher. Good fight as well. Christian and I differed on this fight, right? So Sullensberger gets a 3. Fletcher gets a 2. Sullensberger just had a little more heart at the end, a little more cardio at the end, which I thought Fletcher maybe would have faded. AJ Fletcher was a lot of underdog darlings this week. I thought Sullensberger looked good. He gets a 3. Fletcher gets a 2. JJ Aldridge versus Jillian Robertson. JJ looked great. She gets a 3. Jillian gets a 1. She would have got a zero, but she took it on short notice. Same old Jillian Robertson. JJ Aldridge looked good. Stopped every takedown. Her stand-up was crisp. Has zero power, but she looked really good. Javid Basharat versus Trevin Jones. Basharat gets a 4. Jones gets a 3. I love this fight. This was competitive. Trevin Jones looked really good. He took a lot of big shots. Got hurt to the body. And Basharat, just this kid's cardio and pace and persistence and his combinations and his overall game is really impressive. He took some big shots by Jones and didn't get wobbled. Took them and kept coming. And Trevin Jones, cardio on point, looked really good. Wasn't as a ground fight as I thought. I thought Basharat would take this down. They stood up the whole time. Very, very competitive. I obviously had Basharat to win there. But very competitive fight. High on both guys. I like both guys in that division. Damon Jackson versus Kamella Kirk. Damon Jackson. God damn, dude. That hairline is tough to root for. I picked against you. I bet against you. You went out there and looked good. First round was competitive. Kamella Kirk kind of coming out really calm and confident and kind of swaggy with his style. Hands down, punches coming out. You know, Damon Jackson's kind of forcing his punches, looking for some takedowns, got some takedowns. Kamella at the end of that first round got buzzed a little bit. Jackson hurt him on the feet. Second round, Damon Jackson goes, oh, I can take you down and just dominate. And that's exactly what he did. He took him down. Kamella threw up an arm, couldn't get it. That was his last ditch effort. Damon, like seconds after that arm triangle choke, you know, Damon's got to shave his head and he's got to tell me what the fuck he's doing with his back tattoo. Those two lines. Is it finished? Is it not finished? Let me know. But first you got to shave the head. Then you either got to finish that piece or explain yourself on your back. And then maybe I'll root for you. I'm rooting against this guy until otherwise. You know, until otherwise. I can't do it. Miranda Maverick versus Sabina Mazo. Maverick looked good. Mazo, you know, see ya. You're a trash can. Probably don't belong in the UFC. Miranda Maverick, big, big rebound win here. She needed it. She gets a 4 stars. God damn, that scared the shit out of me. I thought I had everyone muted on my thing, but my mother-in-law sends me, God, that scared the fucking piss out of me. My mother-in-law sent me a memoji or whatever they're called with hard eyes. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Scared the fucking piss out of me. Sorry for the listeners. I scared you too. Golly. Listen, Mazo, just, she's not up to snuff. Probably won't get cut because this is 125 and, you know, they need bodies there, but she gets a 0. Cody Brundage versus Dolce Lungabawula. Cody's my underdog play. Hated playing that. Thought he was going to get finished that first round. Showed a lot of heart. Came back. Dolce just completely gassed with his beach muscles. Just winded. Cody got that guillotine. Nice win for him. I didn't know why. You know, kind of a sweet message. You know, his daughter was dealing with some seizures, I think it was. You know, she's got a rare condition. So he had that armband with his daughter's name on it. I think that's cool. I'm a softy for that because I am a father of girls. Luckily for me, my girls are gorgeous and healthy and they got huge heads. So that's a good thing. But good for Cody to get that win there. A nice little guillotine over Dolce. First UFC win. Yeah. So what he gets a 3, Dolce gets a 1. Chris Martino gets a 0. That fucking punching bag doesn't belong in the UFC. When Guido Canetti comes out there and knocks you out, I think it's time to go back to the minors. You're 9-6. You're a young kid. You know, you got to do something. I don't want brain damage on my watch. Guido, 42 years old, just put him out. Get out of here. And then Tefan Nchukwi versus Azmat Mirazikov. First leg of the slime ball. So I did this, you know, because I wanted people to be able to reload. I almost did 2 slime balls when I was in Indiana. I almost did this one. Then I almost switched out Azmat with Song. I chose not to. I said, you know what? I'm going to put more on this one. And Mirazikov fucking Hail Mary'd it, man. Tefan was dominating. Mirazikov was slowing down. First round was close. Second round, all Tefan. Momentum shifting. And then Mirazikov just lands a gorgeous left as Tefan coming in, buzzed him, and then that knee just flatlined him. Couldn't believe it. I'm jumping up and down. My wife's like, what? How much money you win? I said, no, it's the first leg of a parlay. She's like, what's that mean? So she didn't know what a fucking parlay is. I said, it's good. It's a good thing because he's losing, and we're still in it. She's like, yeah, whatever. Cool. Dinner's ready. So that's the card. That's it. 10-4 of my picks. Not bad. Nice little gambling night here. As I said, I was on the Anakin Florian podcast again, had the privilege to talk MMA with those fucking legends. Go check that out on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Go check it out because it's awesome. But we did the picks. We did Gunny Nelson versus Takashi Sato. I went Gunner. Patty Pimblett versus Rodrigo Fazula. Kazula Vargas went Patty. Patty the Batty, baby. Art Allen versus Dan Hooker. Arn Allen. And then Volkov versus Tom Aspinall. Tommy Aspinall is my guy. I went Tom Aspinall. So those are the four picks. Obviously, I'm going to have a pick on this week. I'll break down those four plus the rest of the card. It'll be up on Wednesday and on YouTube. And then we got a heavyweight. And then we'll just kind of preview it right now. Shamil. Why did I start with this name, Brian? Okay. Shamil Abdurakhimov. Abdurakhimov. Versus Sergey Pavlovich. Haven't seen Pavlovich in a while. Shamil. I mean, if you could give a title or a championship or at least a title shot to a guy with the most body hair, Shamil would probably be up there. He'd already have a couple shots, but I don't think that's how it works. So that's just a heavyweight fight. I'm interested to see Pavlovich. He was a big deal coming in the UFC. Haven't seen him in a while, and you know he's done well. He's lost one time, but we'll see. Nikita Krylov versus Paul Craig. Oh, Paul Craig from Scotland. I wish I could do a Scottish accent, man. The Scottish people. One guy from I am Scottish. My dad told me I'm Scottish. I did a 23andMe. A lot of Petries come from Scotland, and there was like a other list, but it was like 78% went from Scotland. From Scotland. So, but what, like Joanne Calderwood or Joanne Wood, excuse me, Paul Craig. When they talk, it's so fast and it's got like it's hard to understand, but it's like cool, right? I just think it's like fucking cool. And I don't know. See, that's the thing is like I'm a little worried if that I'm not Scottish because. I feel like every Scottish fighter or Scottish person I've seen, like depicted in movies or whatever, they have great beards. I can't grow a fucking beard. You know what I mean? So am I Scottish? What the fuck am I? Anyway, Paul Craig fighting Nikita Krylov, two vets going at it. I don't know what that's a tough fight to pick. I have to dive deep into that one. Jack Shore versus Timur Valley. Great fight. One of the fights I'm looking forward to the most. Jack Shore currently an underdog. Not going to give my pick out, but currently an underdog. Molly McCann versus Luna Carolina. Molly, Meatball Molly. Of course, she's going to fight England. This chick is hyped, no matter where she fights, but good that she's fighting in London. Muhammad Mokaev. I got to learn how to pronounce his name versus Cody Durden. Kind of a bad blood fight. A lot of people in England love Muhammad. Stud wrestler, good jiu-jitsu. A lot of people are overhyping him. He's a giant favorite. Is he going to get hammered or not? Listen, Cody Durden, even I don't know exactly what Cody did. Either they dug up old tweets or current tweets or whatever, but apparently everyone turned on him. He might be kind of a piece of shit. I don't really know. The one thing I do know is he isn't the easiest first fight for anybody. The dude's fucking durable. He took Chris Gutierrez's best on short notice and didn't get put out of there. Chris Gutierrez is a good striker. And, you know, this kid's looked good. You know, he's got some decent skills, even if he's a piece of shit. Again, I don't know what he said. I don't know what it is. But a lot of people turned on him, so I'm assuming it was kind of bad. Mike Grundy. That's Christian. Versus McQueen Mirakani. That fight, avoid that. I have no fucking clue who's going to win that fight. Elise Reed versus Corey McKenna. Good to see Corey McKenna back. And Elise Reed, good to see her back too, I guess. Nate Wood, Nathaniel Wood versus Vince Morales, another banger. And then Jai Herbert versus Lear Topuria. Topuria hopping up to 155. Jai Herbert's a big dude for 55. Topuria, I mean, he's a little bit wide, but short on the height. That's going to be an absolute banger. I know Topuria is going to be in a lot of people's parlays. He is extremely high on a lot of books right now. All right, that's it. Keep it short and sweet, baby. That's the podcast. Again, Pick'em Podcast going to be this Wednesday. Probably won't be live. I'm going to record it Wednesday, post the video and the recording and the audio. That's how you say it in the biz, the audio. Video on YouTube, MMA Takes Podcast, and then on the audio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, MMA Takes Podcast. Go search for it. Go subscribe, rate, and review. Someone just rated me. I got 36 now. Thank you. Leave a review. Go and just type in a little review there for me, okay? Let's get to 40, huh? 40. Let's do 40. All right.
Woo! Hey, pal, do me a favor. Get her down off there. What do you say? Woo! I say let her dance. Woo! Get up. Woo! 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 Come on, man. Woo! Hey, look, pal, we don't want to...
Escort this gentleman to the door.
Come on. Do you see that shit?
Yeah. Who is that guy?
He's good. He's real good.
The name is Dollar.